Isaiah chapter 20. In the year that Tartan came into Ashdod, when Sargon king of Assyria sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it. Those are obviously historical references. Tartan was a title, commander-in-chief, and Sargon was apparently the son of Shalmaneser, and his campaign against Ashdod. You know, those are historical elements which are really meant as a reference to when this was brought about. Verse 2. At the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, Go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, Like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years, for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia. Verse 4, So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners, and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. So the Lord speaks by Isaiah, giving Isaiah command to remove his sackcloth. Now, what is sackcloth? Some people may ask, because we don't always know all these things. Sackcloth is just like it sounds in English. It's clothing made from sacking. Sacks were usually made out of very low quality cloth, like rough cloth. Like we still have sacks made out of burlap. And sackcloth was put on as a sign of mourning very frequently. You know, people wouldn't wear their nice clothes. They would put on the sackcloth. And it was sort of a sign of saying, it's like a lot of things. When people want to express themselves, whether it be expressions of grief or of seriousness. For example, like fasting. One fasts for many different reasons. It could be simply to discipline yourself. It could be a way of showing God how much you care about something, or demonstrating it for your own sake towards God, or whatever. Maybe you feel just led of the Spirit. Sackcloth is a similar type of thing. It's saying, I'm not going to put on my soft clothes, my comfortable, normal clothes. The mourning side of it is a sort of like, I'm unhappy, and therefore I will not wear happy clothes. I don't care about anything else because my grief is so great. I will wear whatever is at hand, these sacks. So putting on primitive clothing made out of, just wearing a bag, basically. And made from different materials. I don't know in particular, what kind. I was thinking the book of Revelation, where the sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair. And I guess I assume that means maybe like horse's hair or some sort of rough hair that would be made into sackcloth. I'm not sure what that precise reference is to. But prophets very frequently in the Old Testament went about in sackcloth. In the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, the two witnesses are clothed in sackcloth. I've had someone ask me once about sackcloth, like, well, what should I do? I want to put on sackcloth. It's not, necessarily burlap, but, that'll do. I mean, if you want to put on itchy old burlap as a sign of whatever, if you feel led to do it, that's perfectly acceptable. It is what it is, it's rags, basically. But unlike rags, it's pretty easy to make a garment out of a sack. Poke two holes in it for your arms and your head, a third hole for your head to go through, a couple of arm holes, and hopefully it's long enough to come down to your knees at least, and then you're covered. It's a very simple form of clothing. I'll just wear this sack. It makes me think of in the old cartoons when, when a guy would lose everything, he'd be wearing a barrel for some reason. Which was kind of funny, but I guess it's the idea that, it was just, back in those days, barrels would be left over from a lot of things, and they get thrown away and stuff or burned. They were not very valuable. Nowadays, if you want a barrel, you know, good luck finding one. A wooden barrel? You know, they probably sell them at a premium in the gardening store or whatever. So it's not quite as easy to come by a barrel, maybe, as it once was. So the idea of it being sort of the bottom of the barrel of clothing, I think that's passed away. So Isaiah goes around naked as a sign and a wonder. The word wonder is perhaps misplaced. You know, the Hebrew word has some idea of something that's conspicuous. Because we often think of wonders in terms of, wow, it's a wonder, like the seven wonders of the world. But it does fit in if you think of it in terms of how people react to it. Like, you wonder, why is this dude going around naked? You may wonder at this bizarre sight. And the point is, the prophet is acting this out to draw attention to the fact that the Lord has said the Egyptians are going to be carried into captivity by the Assyrians and also the Ethiopians, their neighbors, naked and barefoot with their buttocks uncovered. To the shame of Egypt. It's very humiliating to be led away naked, like some sort of animal. And they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt, their glory. You know, the Egyptians had a very proud sense of their nation, their ancient nation, that had been around so long, so powerful, had a grand history, the great monuments, the pyramids, the Sphinx. The ancient cities were much, you know, we don't even know the full extent of all that was from time to time because of the way the desert comes in and reclaims things. Even now with satellite technology, they're beginning to uncover even more Egyptian monuments and stuff out in the desert through new methods of research. So the expectation of Ethiopia, again, the Egyptians, through some sort of alliance, obviously laid some expectation that the Ethiopians will come and help, and by that we will be able to resist the Assyrians. But of course, the message in the scriptures is so frequently, especially in the prophets, you know, man makes his schemes and they think they can escape the judgment of God. But God, when he says something's going to come to pass and he pronounces a judgment, all the scheming in the world will not be fruitful. All the we're going to make a plan, we will get assistance from this other nation. You know, they always do things other than look to God. And they're trying to solve their problems by becoming stronger, by making alliances. But God had set the Assyrians to punish the nations for their sins. Verse 6, and the inhabitant of this isle shall say in that day, the isle should be coasts or borders, behold, such is our expectation, whither we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria. How shall we escape? You know, we had expected that the strength of Egypt and the power of the Ethiopians would sustain us, that the two things combined would be strong enough to resist the Assyrians. Now what are we going to do? And that ends chapter 20. It's a very brief chapter. I should have included it with chapter 19.